Earlier this week, we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the radical black civil rights leader, pacifist, and minister. Here in Houston on Monday, King and the ongoing civil rights movement were celebrated in Houston with two downtown parades. Before the parades, last Sunday, during her Pan-African Journal program on KPFT, which airs every Sunday evening at 8 p.m., host Akua Holt explained why Houston has two parades. Holt said Houston is strange, and she told her audience which parade she would be attending, but she was also hopeful that one day the city's parades would be united.
The short of it is that Dr. Ovid Duncantel, Black Heritage Society, were given permission by Dr. King's father to create this parade, and Houston had the very first Martin Luther King parade sponsored by the Black Heritage Society. We also had the very first Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houston. All this work done by Brother Ovid Duncantel and the Black Heritage Society. So along comes another group, and they decided they wanted to do a parade too. Some kind of way the city gave them a permit to do it, and I guess they thought the Black Heritage Society should just bow out gracefully, and they did not, and they're still here going strong, and we support the Black Heritage Society, and if you'd like to go to both parades, that would be great. If you only want to go to one parade, I would urge you to go to the People's Parade, and that is the Black Heritage Society's parade. And I think the way most politicians have dealt with this, they have just supported both parades. But it's just that strange kind of place where people, I don't know, it's just strange. If you work so hard to put something together, why should someone else duplicate that? You know, it's like trying to do two Super Bowls or two NBA playoffs. They wouldn't allow it. It just would not happen. So we've got to look at our culture and the things that we do to celebrate who we are as something very sacred. And when we do that, then we will have one parade.
Also during Pan-African Journal, Holt aired an archived tape of Martin Luther King, who was addressing a gathering of National Association of Black Radio Announcers. During this next 4-minute and 20-second clip, King was discussing how he thought exerting pressure on the system was necessary to end racial injustice. He also said that if we are going to be truly free, no one else can do that for us.
And there isn't any way to solve this problem without pressure. There isn't any way to solve the problem of racial injustice without persistent, nonviolent pressure. There have been those who felt that it could be done another way. There was a great man in our history, and I do not come to you to criticize him tonight, because I think he was a sincere man. His name was Booker T. Washington. Mr. Washington believed that the problem could be solved through pressureless persuasion. He sincerely felt that. He felt that if you didn't push things too fast and if you didn't bother the white South, if you didn't try to make the white man do something that he didn't want to do at that particular time, he would ultimately come around. Mr. Washington sincerely felt this, but he misread history. He did follow that approach. He started saying everything that the white people wanted to hear. He was honored for it. He was called the responsible leader. No, I always get a little worried when I'm referred to as a responsible leader, because so often when some people call you a responsible leader, they are really telling you that you are a leader who will not tell the truth on behalf of your people. So often they mean that you are a leader more concerned about your budget than you are concerned about the freedom of your people. So often they really mean that you are a leader willing to say to the white power structure what they want to hear rather than what they ought to hear. Booker T. Washington went on with the notion of pressureless persuasion. And the reactionary forces of the White South used that only to plunge deeper into the oppression of the Negro. He told us to let our buckets down where we were, and the problem was that there wasn't much water in the well. And somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we're going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill. If we're going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood, our own Emancipation Proclamation. And we must come to say, yes, I'm black, but I'm black but beautiful. I'm somebody. I have a rich and noble heritage, however exploited and painful it has been. And I've made a contribution to this issue.
To hear more of King's speech, check out archive.kpft.org and find Akua Holt's Pan-African Journal, which was broadcast January 14th at 8 p.m. Yesterday, students at the University of Houston celebrated Martin Luther King's contribution to racial justice by a day full of activities that culminated with the hosting of an address by Simone Sanders in the Student Center. Simone Sanders is a paid political commentator who frequently appears on CNN. Simone Sanders is also the former National Press Secretary for the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign, and she served in this capacity at the age of 25, the known youngest presidential press secretary. Simone Sanders fired up the students at U of H, and she talked about what Martin Luther King was doing in the days before he was killed in Memphis.
I want to bring us back to when Dr. King was killed. The day before Dr. King's assassination, he was marching with the sanitation workers in Memphis. Sanitation workers who started a boycott, a strike, if you will, because months before, two African-American garbage truck workers, sanitation workers, were killed in a grinder, and the city did nothing. So protests erupted. So it wasn't just about wage and pay equity, but it was about the fact that these African-American, these black sanitation workers, they were people too. And if a white sanitation worker had been killed in the same vein as which these black sanitation workers would have been killed, the city would have done something differently. And so when the sanitation workers, when they marched and they organized, they held these signs that said, I am a man. It reminds me of the phrase that has been echoed for the last number of years, Black Lives Matter. The sanitation workers in Memphis held the I am a man signs because they literally had to remind the people in Memphis that they were people too, that the black sanitation workers were people as well. That's what Dr. King was marching and organizing for. He became concerned with the problem of economic equality in America. And so Dr. King started the Poor People's Campaign, which focused on that particular issue, economic equality, across racial lines and racial barriers, across demographics, across religious backgrounds. He literally was organizing all poor people around what I would like to say, economic equity, because equality just isn't enough. And it was the day before Dr. King was assassinated that he gave his famous speech, one of his famous speeches, I've been to the mountaintop. And that day he said, this is on April 3rd in Memphis, he said, we've got some difficult days ahead, but it really does not matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it ain't no surprise that I don't think we've reached the promised land. And I think that as we reflect on the life and legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This holiday, we should also realize that this is the 50th anniversary of his assassination. And I think that we should remember Dr. King not as this docile, we are the world, I don't see color, uniter in chief, but rather as a radical revolutionary that pushed boundaries, that demanded change, and that never took no for an answer. Dr. King was the opposite of an incrementalist. And that's what I want to talk about today. Bold, radical, and revolutionary change. And the idea that we have of Dr. King, I think, is not the full picture. You know, so many people will say, oh, you know, Dr. King was all about peace and love and nonviolence. And today, he would be disgusted with these young activists who are in the streets, folks who are protesting the government. And I'm like, did y'all read anything about Dr. King? He was literally protesting the Vietnam War. They literally took him out for protesting the government. And people want to quote quotes such as, you know, hate cannot drive out, hate only love can do that, which is true. People want to say, oh, Dr. King said one of life's most urgent and persistent questions is, what are you doing for others? And that is absolutely true. It's one of my favorite Dr. King quotes. But Dr. King also said, the question isn't if we will be extremists. The question is, what kind of extremists will we be? Will we be extremists for love, or will we be extremists for hate? Dr. King challenged the notion that you could not be controversial. Dr. King challenged the notion that you had to go along with business as usual. I would venture to say that today, we need more bold, radical, and revolutionary change agents like Dr. King.
That was the voice of Simone Sanders, who addressed students at the University of Houston yesterday during its Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. commemorative celebration. During the clip you just heard, Simone Sanders mentioned the mountaintop speech that Martin Luther King delivered before his assassination. Frequent KPFT contributor Scooter took parts of the mountaintop speech that Martin Luther King delivered, and he mixed it with the voices of Bobby Kennedy and also the music of Dion and U2, popular artists of their day. The following piece is Scooter's contribution to the People's News this week. It's a 6-minute musical journey celebrating King's legacy.
Anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just look around and he's gone. Didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some someday? Soon he's gonna be one day. Anybody here see my old friend Bobby?
Ladies and gentlemen,
can you tell me where he's gone?
I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening, because I have some very sad news for all of you.
Abraham and Martin.
And I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee.
This is KPFT, Houston.
One man come in the name of love.
Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult time for the United States, perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred.
Then I got into Memphis.
And a desire for revenge.
And some began to talk about the threats that were out.
We can move in that direction as a country.
What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers?
Black people amongst blacks, and white amongst whites.
Well, I don't know what will happen now.
Filled with hatred toward one another.
We've got some difficult days ahead.
We've had difficult times in the past, and we will have difficult times in the future.
But it really doesn't matter with me now.
We can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did.
Because I've been to the mountaintop.
To understand.
Like anybody, I would like to live.
And to comprehend.
A long life, longevity has its place.
And replace that violence.
But I'm not concerned about that now.
With an effort to understand.
I just want to do God's will.
Compassion.
And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain.
And love.
And I've looked over. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I want you to know tonight.